Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Beauty Talk. I'm your host, Janice Tennell, for tonight, Thursday, March 18th. And tonight we are joined by Katanda James and my sister Denise for our part two of our makeup artist roundtable discussion. We'll also be joined by Maxie a little bit later. But first, I wanted to remind everybody to call in. You can call 914-803-4399. Again, it's 914-803-4399 if you have comments or questions. Also, you can join us in the chat room, which we call our Beauty Lounge. And my sister Denise is the one in charge over there, and she has some news for us.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Beauty Lounge. First, I just want to start with the beauty tip for today. To make your existing foundation more like a tinted moisturizer, just add extra moisturizer. The beauty deal for this week is take 15% off the Illusions Cosmetics skincare products at illusionsbeauty.com. This deal is valid until Saturday night at 11:59 p.m. We want to give a big thank you to our family and supporters and followers and our new friends in the Durham, North Carolina area. Thank you all for coming out to our meet and greet event at Beleza Couture Studio over in Durham. I think I'm going to officially rename that event to the Meet, Greet, and Beat. We did so many makeovers that afternoon that it was just kind of overwhelming, but we thank you all for your support and thank you for coming out on last Saturday. You can follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/illusionsbeauty. Follow us on Facebook and just search for Illusions Cosmetics. You can follow us on MySpace, myspace.com/illusionscosmetics. And you can also check out our website at www.illusionsbeauty.com. Also on the website, you can sign up to receive our newsletter on that website, and you'll also get information and a link that will take you to our Beauty Talk blog, which is illusionsbeauty2.blogspot.com. And that's all the shameless self-promotions that I have for this evening.
Okay. Can I ask both of you? Hands raised. How many of you couldn't wait for that music to go off? I don't see any hands.
Funny.
I couldn't take it.
It's really long.
Right. Because you know why? Because you don't know where to stop it, at what point. That's why it's long. Because I'm waiting for like the opportunity, like, okay, It might sound crazy if I stop it here. So that's why I didn't let it play. But I had enough of that.
I think Katanda's saying that it sounds crazy no matter where you stop it.
Yeah, exactly.
It kind of puts me in a trance.
Right.
I'm like,
so we may have to push for some new music. But anyway, so last show, we talked about a lot, and there were a couple things that Dee Dee brought up that I thought were great discussion points for another conversation. So we'll wait till we can get Dee Dee back on with us to go over those things. But we talked about the business of makeup, getting your money, agency representation. We talked about at what point you should be concerned with your appearance, you know, artists trying to dress the part. What else did we talk about? Maxi came in and talked about starting a campaign against mascara. Y'all remember that?
Mm-hmm. I remember that.
Yeah, I remember.
He had it in for somebody. I can't remember the which
I'm not sure if
ad or commercial.
Can't even name. Did he even name the brand? I don't think he named the brand.
He may not have. He may not have. But I thought we talked about a particular commercial, but anyway,
yeah,
he had it in for somebody. He was not happy at all. And then I think it was Katanda who told us. You told us something. It had to do with that particular conversation, Katanda. I'm trying to remember. That you, it was something like you knew what they did.
Yeah, I actually had kind of sat in on a conversation about that. A friend of mine that I was working with asked the question to this particular company that we were working for.
Mm-hmm.
And she asked them, you know, isn't that considered false advertisement, and why do they do that? And basically what we were told is that they do it because everyone else does it.
Right, and I think what Max's point was is, like, they're pretending that this mascara does all this great stuff, but really the model has on fake lashes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, so basically it is false advertisement, and I don't know, sometimes, like, you know, the consumer is a little naive to the fact that, okay, if you don't really have lashes, your lashes with mascara won't really look like that. So it's kind of like a huge disappointment when they buy the mascara, get it home, and try to apply it, and their lashes don't look like the girls that is
right.
advertising the mascara. So,
right.
Yeah. I feel some kind of way about that. Even
right.
though, like, if you have naturally long lashes and you do apply the mascara properly and maybe two coats or three coats, they will look like that. But for people that are, you know, lacking in that area, then it won't really help them out. I don't think
it won't.
As much
exactly.
as what they're expecting. So it's a huge disappointment.
Right. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, tonight, one of the first things I wanted to talk about is social network. You know, my sister just ran down the whole list, Facebook, MySpace, Twitter. How do you all feel about social networking and the makeup artist? Do you believe it, but how does it help your career, your image, and how does it hurt it? Anybody have any thoughts on that?
Well, I think as far as it helping, I mean, I think it's like free advertisement, a free way to market yourself. So that's always good. But I think it can hurt it because sometimes we use it for not just for business purposes, but, you know, we use it personally. And I think sometimes people get to really see who we are personally if we give out too much information. Sometimes we're, like, tweeting our friends and you're not really thinking about someone's looking at this. But sometimes I think personally we can give out a bit too much information as to who, you know, we really are, or, you know, it just may be something that you really don't want everybody to know. But if you're on Twitter and you're having a good time tweeting your friends, you know, sometimes you tend to let out a little more than you really need to.
And you know, one point about Twitter is that sometimes people can tend to use Twitter as text messaging, sort of.
Right.
And I think sometimes that's when it gets to the point where you're letting people know too much of your business. Because some things you could just send to somebody through a text and, you know, it would be fine. But sometimes when you send them through Twitter, you're kind of telling your personal business where you actually are, like right at this moment. And sometimes when you say, oh, I'm in Jamaica. Okay, that's fine. But sometimes when you get to the point where you're saying exactly where you are and the particular restaurant is on this particular street in this particular city, I mean, I just think sometimes it could be a bit much. And hopefully nobody on Twitter has a stalker or anything like that, but
I feel like I have one. It's so sad. I mean, the thing is, and I can easily block this person, but this person is a young lady, and I think she means well, but, you know, it's kind of stalkerish. And, I haven't blocked her because I think it's all just really sweet, but like I said, I think she means well. It's just a little weird.
Mm-hmm.
I actually, when I first, because I was kind of hesitant about using Twitter at first because I had gotten on Facebook, and then it becomes, like, so addicting, and I'm like, okay, I'm just on this Facebook too much. So I didn't want to get started up with Twitter, but I was like, all right, I need to kind of figure out what the big hoopla is. I was told, like, by various different makeup artists and hairstylists, oh, my gosh, it's great for building your brand. So when I first signed up, I didn't know that on Uber Twitter there is some sort of, I think they call it, locator or something.
Right.
And if you don't uncheck the box, then once you send your tweet, it will tell, like, on a map exactly where you are sending this tweet from. And I couldn't figure it out. I was like, oh my gosh, this is kind of creepy because, you know, if you do have a stalker, they can find you from your tweet, even if you don't mention where you are. So I had to figure it out, and finally I figured out how to uncheck the box, and then now it doesn't locate my tweet. But it is a little scary. It's a little creepy because you don't want people knowing where you are at all times. And, I mean, it's kind of cool when you're just, you know, talking to your friends, but there's, like, millions and millions and millions of people out there that are on Twitter, too, and they're like, she's over here now. Maybe I can go get her there. So it's really not cool. But as far as, like, networking, I will say I have had better luck networking through Twitter than I have through Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand why that is. I guess it's, I don't know, maybe it's the new thing now. I don't know. But the whole time I've been on Facebook, I could probably say I've gotten maybe 5 jobs from Facebook. But it's through people that I already knew and maybe people that, you know, knew someone else, and then we just kind of linked up on Facebook. But through Twitter, it's not only that, you know, you may get a job or you may find out about some gig that's going on in your area or something like that, but it's kind of cool how everything is linked together, the retweets, and when you're on someone's page and they retweeted someone else, and you're like, oh, that's cool, that's a great quote, I'm going to retweet that, or it's a great tip. And then that person sees you, and they're like, oh, I keep seeing this person retweeting my tweets. I wonder who this is. And then it prompts them to want to know who you are. So in that aspect of it all, I think it's really, really good.
Yeah. Yeah,
absolutely. And also I like to say that it has helped us with Illusions Cosmetics because, you know, especially with this event that we just did in Durham, North Carolina, we had people that follow us on Twitter to show up. We had, you know, people from Facebook to show up. So it's great when we put announcements out there about the event, people actually, just because they follow us on Twitter or on Facebook, they want to come out and see what the event is all about, which is good for us because, you know, you're hoping that when you're on Twitter or you're on Facebook or you do your blog, you know, sometimes when you do your blog, you have it may say on the side that you have 50 followers, but it's more than 50 people who are actually looking at your blog. They just haven't gone in and signed up to follow. But when people come to your event and you say, well, how did you hear about us or what have you, and they say, oh, I follow you on Twitter or I follow you on Facebook, it's such a good feeling because then you really feel like, okay, well, the things that I'm doing here on Facebook and the things that I'm doing here on Twitter are really working. You know what I mean? Like, okay, they're really interested in what I have to say. So it's kind of great in that aspect as well. But then there are some social networking sites, you know, sometimes you're kind of careful of, like, with MySpace. You know, at first MySpace was the big thing. That's where everybody was. You know, you can put out all your pictures out there. You can, you know, kind of really promote whatever it is you do. Musicians love MySpace. But there are times when you get these people on your page, and I guess that's where it's important where you really control everything. Like, you know, you have the opportunity to control what people post to your page. Before, when we were first starting on MySpace, we weren't controlling, you know, what I'm trying to say is I'm talking about the, like, what do you call it, the post that they put on your page, the comments, I guess is what they call it, on your page. And sometimes people can leave a comment, and if you set your settings up a certain way, you have to approve it first before it appears on your page. Well, and that's the same way here on Blog Talk Radio. I've gone to some people's pages on Blog Talk Radio and seen where people have put some really terrible things on their page, you know, on the comment section. So sometimes I think things like that, or you have these people with profile pictures where they don't have any clothes on or stuff like that. And it's like you don't want people who are just casually, you know, browsing on MySpace or wherever you are and come to your page and see stuff like that. And you don't want them to kind of make assumptions, even though it's not your picture or even though you didn't leave the comment. But if the comment is sitting out there like you don't care, you know, you don't want people to make assumptions about anything. So sometimes you have to be very careful with that, but it's all about settings and how you set things up and, you know, what you allow people to do on your page.
Okay, I actually had, I'm sorry.
Oh, no, I was going to
say, I actually had a situation. Like, like what you're talking about on Twitter. And I was like, oh, my gosh, oh, my gosh. So I let the person know. I'm like, my page is, like, rated PG. Like, you can't say those things on my page. And so I'm trying to, like, hurry up and fish around to figure out how to delete the comment. And I couldn't delete it. And so I was like, okay, either I need to block this person because it was, like, really unacceptable. Like, it was way out of order. Or, you know, I need to just make sure that I don't really know if there's a setting on Twitter that you can – is there a setting on Twitter where you can, like, approve the comments? I don't think there is there?
No, because once you accepted them as a friend, then you're going to see everything that they say.
Yeah, you're going to see everything they say, and then they could just blast whatever on your page and you can't block it. Like on Facebook, you can like approve or disapprove.
Right.
But so that kind of, you know, I was like, oh my gosh, got to really watch out because I had just really started tweeting and getting all into it. And then that happened. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is so not good. But luckily, I think the person got the picture. But after all that, it was already out there to like a million people. And they're like, oh my gosh, what is this girl talking about on her Twitter page? So hopefully, you know, it hasn't really hurt me any, but it can be hurtful if you don't watch what who's on your page and what they're saying on their page, and it gets out of hand sometimes. So,
yeah, I mean, when you think about it and you think about different cosmetic brands and major corporations that are also using Twitter, and you don't know, you know, what other makeup artist, you know, what director, producer, you name it, You don't know art director. You don't know who's watching, you know, who's following you. I mean, you may have a bunch of people following you, but some people are just looking at Twitter and not following anyone. They're just out there, you know. Mm-hmm. So you don't know who's following you. So you really have to be very careful about what shows up on your page. Now, you may love some of the comments that people are sitting, you know, are tweeting out there, and it could be very inappropriate, but you may love that, you know. But when people see that, they automatically think that's who you are.
Okay.
So, you know, you just have to be very careful about what's on your page. So when I start to see stuff like that show up on my page, you know, automatically I try to delete it, and if I can't, they're blocked.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely.
I know a lot of, like you said, corporations actually go to the social networking before they will even, like, look at your resume.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it's really important.
Yep. Very important. That's a good point.
Absolutely. So that's why it's really important that you make sure that you maintain a positive. I mean, you know, you want to sound cool, you know what I mean? You want people to think that you're all great and all that, but you have to also make sure that you're careful with everything that you say.
Mm-hmm.
It's out there for everybody to see. So you have to be careful. But it's really interesting, though, because it was funny because when I was on MySpace, I started to see certain singers, actors, and certain brands going over to Facebook. And then so when I started with Facebook, I really didn't like it, but I went out there anyway, set up an account or what have you. And then I really started liking it. And actually, I still love Facebook. But then I started with Twitter. When I first started with Twitter, I wasn't in love with it. I mean, it's okay. I don't rush out to Twitter, but I know I should tweet a little more. But it's just funny how it just cracks me up how major corporations are on Twitter. They're on Facebook. When you go to every main website, everybody has their little link to Facebook and to Twitter and to sometimes it may be LinkedIn, sometimes it may be MySpace, sometimes it might, you know, maybe something else. But it's just amazing how social networking has taken over. And it's great because it's free. And that's what I love about it. So we have Maxie on the line. I'm going to bring him in.
We haven't even started any discussions on anything else. Okay.
Hey, Maxie. I know, Facebook and Twitter.
Maxie.
Hi, I'm trying to find a reception. I'm great.
Okay.
I'm actually on the... Pardon me? Can you hear me now? Oh.
You have good reception?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Yeah, I can
hear you. Anyhow, I'm on the set of the Ellen DeGeneres show. I'm very excited because it's the one show I haven't really worked on. I've never gotten a chance to meet Ellen DeGeneres. And I'm doing Melanie Fiona's hair, who is a Grammy. She was nominated for a Grammy at this last Grammys. But more importantly, I'm waiting to meet Ellen. I'm lurking around every corner. I am stalking Betty White, is also on this show that I'm working on. And so I'm stalking Betty White and Ellen all at once. And it's really hard because these are people like Betty White. We have no idea how long she's going to be around. And I really want to meet her. And because I love her. I hope she lives to be 105. But anyhow, so that's what I'm doing. I am. I'm so generous.
Maxie?
Yes.
Be sure to tell Ellen and Betty we said hello.
I certainly will. Of course I will. That was the first words that were going to be out of my mouth. I was going to talk about Denise and Janice. Of course.
Okay. Great.
But
and give Betty a big hug for me.
Honey, Betty is such a little sweet angel, and might I say, she is painted for the gods. She has, for you makeup lovers out there, she's got it all on. Everything that you can imagine. And,
Did she come to the show?
She got ready here, but everything you can imagine in your makeup kit is on Betty White right now. There is nothing that's not on Betty White. But she looks amazing. And anyhow, I don't know why, but I was really excited about today. And I still am, but it's not unfolding the way I expected. Like, I expected Ellen to come into the hair room and meet me and be like, oh, my God, Maxie, you're so fabulous. And I was going to teach Ellen a new dance, and then she was going to love it. And then she was going to have me demonstrate it on stage. And then we were going to become best friends. But none of that happened. Not yet. Has Melanie
gone out on stage yet?
No, Melanie has gone out on stage to play Twister with Betty White and Piers Bronson. But she has not. I'm waiting for Melanie to get out there. I have to actually touch her up.
Tell us about what you did to her hair.
Well, Melanie has this deal where she really likes the natural texture of her hair, and apparently she's had a lot of issues with hairdressers coming to her and, like, changing her, like, giving her a big bear. Oh, I gotta go.
Okay.
Either it was Ellen or Betty White.
Right.
She has to do a quick touch-up.
I can't wait to hear. Because he literally stopped in the middle of what he was saying. So I can't wait to hear who that was.
He's so funny.
That ever stopped Maxie from talking on this show.
I was thinking the same thing.
Okay. So my next topic of discussion is something that I've been talking to my sister about. I've seen people mention it on Twitter, and actually, my sister and I did an interview today, and I kind of brought this issue up when I answered one of the questions. And it's the issue of, and I don't know if you've seen this, Katanda, or heard people talk about it or say it, and I guess because the three of us are makeup artists, we probably hear makeup artists talk about it more so than the general consumer. But because we sell cosmetics, we kind of hear it from both sides. But it's the issue where mainly African-American consumers and makeup artists, I won't say all women of color, because I've just mainly heard it from African-American women. Mm-hmm. It's the issue where African-American women are looking for major cosmetic lines. They're looking to these major cosmetic lines for everything, for ways of addressing their makeup needs. For instance, they're looking for a foundation in their particular shade, this particular line that they just love. I just love such and such brand. And it could be any particular brand that's popular or that's out. They just love this brand, but I wish they made foundations, darker than such and such. Or, I wish they had a foundation that's like maybe two more shades darker so that way they can wear it. My concern and my problem with those statements is that I don't feel like African-American women in particular should be looking to cosmetic lines that wasn't created for them in the first place. They shouldn't be looking to these lines for whatever it is that they need. There are lines that are created for, say, for instance, let's say a MAC, who pretty much most people, can go to MAC and find a shade of foundation. Most people. I haven't really heard of anybody who hasn't been able to, maybe they don't like it, but I haven't heard anybody say, I couldn't find my shade. But there are brands out there that are made specifically for women of color, Illusions Cosmetics being one, and their brand, you know, like a MAC, who pretty much covers mainly all the shades. So my concern is, you know, women of color or African-American women complaining about this particular brand that they like, whether it be NARS or Smashbox or Makeup Forever or Revlon, Estee Lauder, whatever. They're complaining because they can't find their shades. But when you have shades that only are for Caucasian women, why do you expect to find your shade? So what do you all think about that?
Well, earlier, I think when we were doing the interview, you had brought up the point of when these women are looking at these lines that are not specifically made for women of color. I think you had brought up the question, you know, why should the lines make products for, you know, women of color? And I think the whole thing was that came out of that was they don't really have to. They don't have to because they have their target market that, you know, they target towards a certain woman, and that certain woman is buying the product, their products. That certain woman is supporting that line. That line is making tons of money without targeting women of color. So they don't necessarily have to make products for women of color to make money. They're making tons of money. So, I mean, but the thing is, I think the popular thing for women of color to do is to go towards the popular line, you know, the line that they see in all the department stores, the lines that they see in Sephora and Ulta and places like that, the lines that people are always talking, you know, about. They're going for those lines, the popular thing. So they're not looking for the, well, now more people are going, like, in drugstores and CVS and Walmart and things like that. They're going to the Black Radiance or the Milani and things like that. But those are mainly women who are just looking not to pay a lot of money for cosmetics, too. Or I've actually seen Caucasian women buying products from Black Radiance. But it's, I mean, really, I have. Like, if they're looking for, like, eyeliner, a certain eyeliner or something, or, like, a certain color, you know, lipstick or lip gloss, I've seen that.
Mm-hmm.
They don't really care where it's coming from, you know. They're just looking for that particular color.
But so, you're right. Mm-hmm. Just like I said earlier, the point that I made earlier is they don't have to create colors for us. But my issue is not necessarily those other brands, because I'm not complaining or upset with them, because you're right. Just like, for instance, if we created a line for women of color, I don't expect Caucasian women to always come to our line and find something, even though they can. My thing is that what bothers me is that women of color will complain about a line that wasn't necessarily, that didn't necessarily have them in mind in the first place. They'll complain about that instead of going to a line that was created specifically for them. And then, like I said earlier also, if you go to a line that was created specifically for women of color and you can't find what you're looking for, or your shades are not dark enough or what have you, then that's an issue for that particular company to address. But 9 times out of 10, if they're created for women of color, they're going to create several shades that you can choose from, and you'll probably find your shade.
Mm-hmm. I actually agree with both of you, and I do know that people tend to gravitate towards something that's popular or something that they are seeing all the time. So if you turn on the TV, you're always seeing commercials, Revlon commercials with Halle Berry and L'Oreal commercials with Beyonce and, you know, all of those companies. And so when they go to the store, since they've seen Halle Berry and Beyonce in the commercial, they expect to be able to go to the store and find something for them, which in actuality, it's not necessarily so, because it depends on what your shade is, what your tone is, and there's a lot of other things that come into play. But it's just, I don't think a lot of people are knowledgeable enough to know that some lines don't have something for everyone. But since it's convenient for them just to go to the drugstore, oh, I'm in the grocery store right now, I need some foundation. It's really convenient because they can pick it up right there. They want to be able to get something. And being that they may say, oh, my gosh, it doesn't look like anything is going to match me. They'll just pick up anything just because they need it right then and there, and they'll go home and put it on. And you'll see them walking down the street or in the mall, and you're like, oh, my gosh, like, why did she use her, like, best friend's cousin's foundation? But
right.
It's really sad because, I mean, and this is just how I feel. I think that if you're going to market something for everyone, you need to have something for everyone. Because then, once again, it comes into play with the false advertisement. Well, you have Beyonce on here on this commercial, but when I go to the store, she's a black woman. When I go to the store, I can't find anything that matches my tone.
And that's what's so deceiving.
So are you only marketing to light skin,
right,
black women? Or, you know, it's just not, it's a little...
Yeah, because when you just said it, like Revlon has Halle Berry, L'Oreal has Beyonce,
yeah.
And if you look at them, they will probably be able to find their shades, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, I haven't really looked at their how far their line goes now, but back then when those two first started representing those lines, you know. There's no way someone my complexion, and I'm not dark, but I'm not as light as those two. So my thing is, like, you'll see them in the ads, in the magazines, or on the commercials, and if you go running because you see them, you're like, oh, they're black women, so I'm going to go. But they're light black women.
Mm-hmm.
And I've noticed that with L'Oreal, when they had HIP. And I used to love that. But when they the foundation, like the liquid foundation colors that they had were awesome. But then they got rid of them.
They got rid of them because they weren't really selling.
Oh, my goodness. Well,
again,
I was the only one buying them.
But then again, like after so many times of going to the grocery store, to Target, looking for your foundation shade, you're going to stop looking in that line, you know,
mm-hmm.
you're going to move on to the next line. So it could very well have been that people, and like when I work events and things for L'Oreal, black women are always like, okay, is this going to work for me? Like, is this for black? They kind of whisper, like, is this for black people?
Mm-hmm.
And I have to be honest, and some things are, like with the hair color, like if you have relaxed hair, it's not good for you to use a permanent hair color. Okay, we all know that. So I'm just honest. And because I don't want the lady going home and me standing there telling her one thing when I know it's not necessarily going to work for her, or it could potentially, like, break her hair off, or when she gets home she's going to look like a ghost or something when she puts the foundation on. I mean, I'm just really honest. And it was sad because, like you said, that HIP line, those foundations, it was, like, tons of shades and tons of colors, and it matched. Like, you could find one to match just about anyone.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a wide range of shades. And I was like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe they're discontinuing it. But they did. And I know that they're trying to, like, redevelop something new. But who knows how long that's going to take, because, you know, it takes a while. And what they were doing was, when I was working on one particular event, we were doing a little survey and asking the women about how they feel about foundation and if they had gotten a chance to try it out. And so I know that they're really trying to bring something, but if it's not selling, they're not just going to keep, because it's basically it's a waste for them to market.
But I wonder what kind of promotions they did for that, though.
Well, they used to do, like promotions where it was specifically the HIP line.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, they just kind of did away with it. They still do it with, like, the eyeshadows and things like that. There are certain events that they do where they just promote the HIP line, but the whole foundation aspect of it, I don't know what happened with that, because it was, like, a really, really good foundation, and I still use it because I have a lot of it, and I still use it, and it gives you great coverage. Like I said, you can
mm-hmm.
find the shades to match just about anyone. It doesn't look cakey, like, it glides on, looks really natural, and it was really good. So, I mean, I don't know, but I know as far as, like, my mom, she's, like, really light-skinned. I'm just like, Mom, just give it up. Like, just because you're light skin, you know, you have a different undertone in your skin. Like, you can't use that because it makes you look gray. Like, you need to find something else. So it just depends. It just depends. And I haven't really had any luck with any foundation for African-American women in those types of brands except for that hip line.
Right.
Yeah.
But they were, it was like it was specifically made for, you know,
mm-hmm.
brown women. Because if you look at the advertising, they used Kerry Washington
mm-hmm.
For their ads. And then, I guess I should have known that things were changing because they used Kerry Washington in some of their ads. But then later, I started to see other women in
mm-hmm.
their ads. I'm not sure. Maybe even Beyonce could have been in one of them.
Yeah. Yeah, they mm-hmm. went back to Beyonce and some others.
Yeah. And then once we saw that, and then next thing you know, they soon started, you know, making way with the foundation.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like,
the foundation
okay.
to me is always a little tricky, even with, like, some of the other lines, like you said, Makeup Forever and different lines like that. It's still for African-American women or women of color, it's still a little tricky. I do a lot of, like, mixing because you can't really get – it's very rare that you can get – just use one shade on a person and it matches perfectly.
And, you know, like a line like Makeup Forever, when you look at their range, you're like, oh, okay, they have a lot of different shades.
Mm-hmm.
But you're saying that you still find yourself mixing.
Yeah, I do a lot of mixing. I do. Because I hate to see, like, a person and their face is totally a different color than what it should be. Like, that's my biggest. I'm really, like, all about the skin. So that's, like, my biggest pet peeve. I'm like, oh, my God. That is so wrong. So I do a lot of mixing and, like, custom blending and stuff. It's kind of like what's, and I don't know, it may be because I'm a hairstylist, too, and doing, like, hair color. You're always mixing
mm-hmm.
and doing custom colors for people. That may have a little to do with it because I do work with other makeup artists where they don't do any mixing at all. I'm like, you did, like, you just put one straight color on it. They're like, oh, yeah, yeah.
It's like, how did you do that?
So I don't know. Maybe it's just me. But, yeah.
Well, what about the issue of, because I kind of mentioned it a little bit earlier when I was talking about women of color going to lines that are specifically made for them, and if they have problems with that line, and that's something that line needs to address. What about brands that are created by African-Americans for African-Americans that you often hear people complain about? It's too red, it's too orange, you know, and still they find themselves going back out looking for particular foundation is what I'm specifically talking about. What about
thing is this is just my experience and my observation, but a lot of people automatically assume that if the woman is African-American, she's, like, red undertone,
mm-hmm.
which is totally not true because most people are yellow undertone. So they, like you said, you look at them and they look red, like they've been baking in the sun. And it could have been, like, an African-American makeup artist that gave this woman the red undertone foundation or powder.
Mm-hmm.
And it's
mm-hmm.
totally wrong. And I don't know why that is, but I think some people just assume, or I don't know. I know everyone's eye catches something different, but
mm-hmm.
you should really be able to see the undertone in the skin.
Mhm. Mhm. That was another question that came up earlier today. We were talking about brands, you know, like your Fashion Fair, your Flory Roberts, brands I call it from back in the day, and they talked about, you know, like some of them where we were just talking about too orange or too red. Why do you think, or do you, I'm trying to figure out what's the best way to ask this question. We were trying to figure out even though you would think that, okay, these are brands that were created by people of color, for people of color, that we know of. I can specifically say Fashion Fair. I'm not really sure about Tory Roberts. We just assume. But why do you think some of them didn't get it right? Was it just a matter of, you know, that was something new for black people to be creating cosmetics, especially back then? Do you think it was because it was something new, or maybe they should have had, like, a professional, like, makeup artist, somebody working with the chemist to kind of could tell them or address the needs of women of color when it comes to foundation? Why do you think that even though these are products created by people of color, they still come out wrong?
Well, for one, I think women of color back then weren't as educated about cosmetics as they are now. So back then, nobody's thinking that women of color are going to have many complaints about what the cosmetics look like. I think mm-hmm. it was just more of now we finally have a line for ourselves. And, you know, we have our darker shades of foundation, you know, for us. We don't have to go to white lines and you know, try to find foundation colors because now we have our own line. Mm-hmm. So it was just like they took whatever was closest to their color and used it, and it didn't matter if it was too red or too green or what. They used it.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I also think that a lot of times, I don't know, people are just, especially this day and age, people are just so in a rush. They need something, like, right now. And they just, even though they apply it and it doesn't look good, they just go ahead and get it because they need it. And like you said, Denise, because it is marketed specifically for African American women, then they think, oh, it's okay for me to use it because it's marketed for me anyway.
Right.
Right. It's totally wrong.
Right, and that's one of the points I made earlier, that, you know, because it was for African Americans, they just assume it's, you know, this is for us, and they're not thinking it's wrong because it's for us.
I mean, yeah, just think about all the years where, you know, women of color didn't have products for them. So to finally have a line that's made for them, nobody's going to question that it's a little too red, you know. And not just that, like I said, women weren't educated about cosmetics. They're not seeing,
they didn't know that it was too red.
Yeah, they don't know that it's too red. That's just the closest thing they've ever had to match their skin tone.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then as years were to go on and more professional makeup artists and more people trained in cosmetics, and then you start having these other product lines, not necessarily ones for women of color, but just some of the brands created by Caucasian people who extended their line so that now people of color can have more selections, and maybe they got it right, where some of the your Fashion Fairs or Tory Roberts or whatever still may have been a little too red or what have you. We have a call from the 301 area code. Hello, caller.
Hello, ladies. It's Cynthia.
Hi, Cynthia Jones. How are you?
So, I'm great. Just had to call in because it's, you know, it's one of my favorite topics.
Oh, really?
Foundation colors.
So what do you have to say about it?
Well, I think, you know, back in the day where you had a lot of fashion fairs, like you were saying, is a lot of redness and just horrible, horrible, horrible colors. I think over time, knowledge has increased, and so people are starting to figure out, you know, and still now, I'm still seeing a lot of cosmetic companies that don't quite have it, with me being a darker skin, you know, like the other young lady was saying, there's still a lot of redness going on. But, we are, most of us are, you know, yellow olive undertones. And all this red, 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 I'm like, why? Why is there so much out there? Like, I was at Ulta today looking for, you know how I do, looking for more products.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And just, I saw a whole lot, like Maybelline, the whole dark skin section was red. But I think we need to spend more time studying, you know, doing the science behind it to actually get the true color for darker skin people.
You're right. You're absolutely right. There needs to be more time spent in trying to get that right.
But, you know, and even I'm not trying to call this line out, but, I mean, I think I need to say who it is. But even with CoverGirl's Queen Collection, I mean, I think they have a great range of colors, but most of those darker colors are red.
Mm-hmm.
So now you have African Americans who put the time and the research into helping to create, you know, the color range. And yet, I'm not going to say it's wrong, but when you look at it, it's still not quite what it needs to be. Because
so I wonder,
every darker person is not red, like you said, Katanda.
Well, I wonder if they're actually testing these colors with actual dark-skinned people.
I sure hope so.
You were saying earlier, you look at these commercials and you have Beyonce, you have Queen Latifah, they're lighter.
Mm-hmm.
You don't see people that are my complexion or darker, you know, a darker brown or even, you know, I mean, I've had clients that are almost blue-black.
Mm-hmm.
So what's out there for them, you know? Now, I do know Graftopian has some things, but, you know, something that's in an everyday store that they can purchase.
But you know what a Caucasian makeup artist will tell you, and they all say this because I hear it all the time. They will say, you know, women of color with darker skin don't really need foundation all over. Like how many?
Right, I hear that too, but it's still horrible because you still have some. Because
it's not necessarily true. Basically, what that
right.
means is you don't know what to put on them.
Right, and on top of which, you don't know what their skin is actually doing. They could have had a breakout or, you know, they want to get coverage. They have, you know, like in my family, we have hyperpigmented under our eyes, so they're super dark under our eyes. So we, you know, I spend a lot of time concealing, but we're darker. So it's like, well, what do you use? I mean, I've been trying to teach other family members, you know, let's neutralize, you know, use a little orange base. But, you know, we have to educate our clients that are out there as well. But these cosmetic lines need to educate themselves as well.
Right. Right.
And I actually have a question. And it leads me to, it prompts this question. I also run into a lot of African-American women that don't think they need foundation or
mm-hmm.
think their skin, you know, they always say black don't crack, I don't need that, and you know, which is not necessarily true. And so I'm wondering
right.
if they are feeling this way because they've had so many bad experiences going out there to try to find a foundation that actually really matches, that they've totally just have done away with the idea of even wanting to use foundation, so they use that as an excuse.
But, you know, so many black women, you know, they have beautiful skin. They have really nice skin, no blemishes, you know, anything like that. Some of them think that if they, you know, if they put foundation on, then they're going to start to break out. So for those are the women who need to really be educated on skincare.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, I don't really know of any foundation that actually breaks somebody out unless they have some type of allergic reaction to an ingredient that's in it.
Mm-hmm.
Or they've only tried one brand one time and they said, oh, foundation doesn't work for me. They haven't tested other things. I've had a number of clients that have said that. But I'm like, well, try this over here. And then, you know, they don't break out. They're fine. Or it could just be them, you know, their imagination.
Mm-hmm.
because they feel like foundation's on.
Yeah.
Well, ladies, really quickly, because we're running out of time, tell us what's the hot new looks for spring 2010.
I've actually noticed that there's a lot of like bright colors, like springy colors, like metallic, colorful eyeliners,
mm-hmm.
and you guys. Well, Denise, you know. I don't know if you know Denise, but my thing is eyeliner, like
mm-hmm.
for me, for myself, personally. So I love eyeliner. Like, I've been wearing eyeliner since I was probably, it's really bad to say this, but literally since I was like 9 years old. So I'm so into eyeliner, and I'm really excited about it because I've been noticing a lot of that lately. So I'm excited about that for spring and summer.
And bold lip color.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of pastels, I think. More smoky eyes with color.
And more glitter liners too. I've been noticing
that
a lot more glitter liners. Just like she said, I'm getting excited too because I love color, and so for so long I've been kind of doing the natural eye. But just this week I've been popping out like the turquoise, just liner. Just a liquid liner
mm-hmm.
all around the eye and just keep it real subtle for my eyeshadow.
Mm-hmm.
And just pop it with color liners and glitter liners.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Yep.
Exciting.
It is exciting. I love eyeliner.
So are you going to wear colored eyeliner tomorrow, Tonda?
I will, just for you, Denise. I will.
Okay.
Got to figure out which color I'm going to wear, but I'm going to wear some color eyeliner.
Something that's very noticeable, like the whole, everybody in the place can see it.
I just discovered these. I've never used them before, and I just actually learned about it last week. I could be late. But L.A. Splash, you heard of the brand L.A. Splash?
Yeah. L.A. Splash?
Yes.
It's
they sell it in Ulta. They sell it in Ulta, and they have these liquid eyeliners that are just amazing. They're very pigmented. They have some that come in like a glitter form, and there's others that come in like striking blues
pink. I have a few now that you say that.
I was just in Ulta a few days ago, and how did I miss these things?
Yeah.
I don't know, but I've never heard of it before. They even have the mascaras.
So color mascara.
Yes, I have on green right now.
So this is okay. Since you love eyeliner, one of my favorite eyeliners is this blue eyeliner. It's kind of like this electric royal blue type color. That you get from, like, the Asian beauty supply store.
Uh-huh.
It's called Jordana.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's the best blue eyeliner ever made. I don't know.
L.A. Splash might have them beat.
You think
yeah,
so?
Yeah, but Jordana's
if they have Jordana beat, then I have to go and get, like, so
many
of them.
You gotta try it.
When we have tea tomorrow, Cassandra, I will bring the L.A. Splash liner that I have so you can see it.
Yeah, so I can test them out. I need to see.
I mean, it's not, and mine is just like a little, you know, bronzy copper color. You know, I play it safe. But,
you
gotta get the turquoise, the green, the pink. There's a hot pink. You gotta get those colors.
Well,
I have
the hot pink.
The hot pink is actually in the mascara, but you know it's makeup. You can just use a liner pencil and put that on as a liner. Try it.
That's
why not?
True. So true.
I'm excited. I'm going to Ulta tomorrow after lunch.
But she's going to.
Yay! Hey, I don't feel bad. I went twice this week because they have the sale, too. So, on
the one about the sale.
Yes. Buy one, get the second one 50% off. So, hey.
On LA Splash?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, that's okay.
Great.
We will be at Ulta tomorrow.
Right.
We will.
I didn't get that many, only like 8.
Anyway.
Only like 8.
Correct. Talking to the makeup junkie, Cynthia. All right, well, that's it for our time. So thank you all for listening. Go out and rate the show as a favorite if you liked it, or leave us a comment on our profile page. Thank you, Cynthia, for calling in. Thank you, Katana, for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me again.
We miss Dee Dee tonight, but hopefully she can join us on the next round table.
I know, I better clean that up. I thought she was joining us, so I put it on
Yeah, I saw that. You put it on
and
Twitter.
She's not even with us.
But we missed her, and, we can tell her all about it. But I don't know if you know, but we had her on about a week or two ago, and she was she did a beauty breakdown on Tamela Mann's Look for the NAACP Image Awards.
Yeah, she told me about that.
Yeah, because we just love
to
look.
But I didn't get a chance to listen in.
Yeah, and so we had her come on and give us a breakdown. So that was fun.
Mm-hmm.
And thanks to Max, even though he had to run off, I'm sure him and Ellen are best of friends by now.
You know they are.
Max is working on the Ellen DeGeneres Show, and he was talking. He was talking about how everything was going great. He loved the job, but things weren't going as he planned. He thought by now that he would have met Ellen and they would have been the best of friends, and Ellen would have came into the hair room and he would have showed Ellen a new dance, and then Ellen would have had him come out on stage and do the dance.
Now, this is Maxie we're talking about.
Right.
He doesn't have high expectations.
So all of that didn't happen, but in the middle, I was asking him to tell us what he did to Melanie's hair, and in the middle of telling us what he did to his hair, he had to go. So we don't know why he had to go, what was going on, but we're hoping that he finally met Ellen.
Hilarious.
So, yeah. I think he did, because he never called back either.
He never called back. He don't have time for us right now.
He's like, I got to go.
He's like, I got to go. I mean, just out of nowhere. So hopefully the next show we will hear about who, caught his attention. So, and everybody also go out and buy LA Splash liquid eyeliner.
And mascara.
Tell us what colors you bought. And tell us what colors you brought. So thank you, ladies, for another great show. Appreciate you both.
Thank you.
And what's tomorrow? Friday? Are you off tomorrow, Cynthia?
Yes, actually, I am.
Well, Katana and I are doing our tea at T-Ball at 1 p.m., and if you're free and can make it, you can join us.
Okay, I'll probably have to get the address from you.
Okay.
And bring your eyeliners.
Yes.
Oh, I'll bring all 8 of them.
Yes, please.
All right, thank you, ladies.
Okay, thank you.
All right, have a good night.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.